This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Welcome to The Joy of Living, featuring your host, Barry Shore. In this time of busy and rush, we don't always take the time to appreciate the life that we have and the love of those around us. Now, the ambassador of joy invites you to take a moment, no, take an hour, and find the joy of living. Here is Barry Shore.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good, and we have good in abundance today. Remember, you have tuned in purposely, consciously, and conscientiously for one reason only, and it's the best reason, because you care the most in the entire world about you. Y-O-U-E-W-E. That's great, by the way, because enlightened self-interest enables you to become the best you. When you're the best you, you can build bridges of harmony, create more joy, happiness, peace, and love in the world. And that's what this show, The Joy of Living, is about. Because you remember, we have, thank God, over 349,621 people on the call at the moment, or in the watching this or listening to at the moment. And God willing, there'll be more than another 10,000 joining us in the next few minutes. And over 300 plus thousand people join us every single week. And I hope that you'll continue to do so as well and invite your friends. That's why we have so many people and growing. But the reason is because on this show, we discuss issues that are pertinent to your very well-being. And when you listen to what we have to say and you share and you put it to practice, you will become happier, healthier, and wealthier. And who doesn't want that? And we'll be discussing that last point in detail today with one of the most informed and informative people that you'll ever have access to, because you wouldn't have access to them other than through The Joy of Living with your humble host, Barry Shore. Anything you want to know about our guest and the information can be accessed at our website, www.barryshore.com. So you don't have to write anything down, you don't have to remember anything unless you really want to, but just lean in and let the information flow around you, through you, and with you so that you can access it later and share it with at least five people. Because if you do that, we'll touch at least 1.5 million people. And this information, this discussion needs to be shared. It's vital to your well-being. Happier, healthier, and in this case, wealthier. Now, on The Joy of Living, we discuss the three fundamentals of life. These three fundamentals are, number one, life. Your life has a purpose. When you lead a purpose-driven life, you can go mad. That's the second fundamental. Mad stands for make a difference. Everybody makes a difference in life. You want to make a positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant difference. And you do that by living a purpose-driven life. And the third fundamental we discuss is uncovering and unlocking the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms. Simplest example, right now you're watching or listening and through some medium called the internet. If you ask anybody, what does WWW stand for? Invariably, they'll tell you it has to do with the internet. And factually speaking, they're correct. But in our world, the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, WWW stands for What a Wonderful World. And what a is a word, W-H-A-T-A, What a Wonderful World. Thank you, Louis Armstrong, Satchmo for enabling that song to go viral, not just touch tens or hundreds of millions, but billions of people around the planet. And when you hear even the opening bars of this song, "What a Wonderful World," what do you do right away? You can't help it. You smile. Now, smile is one of those important words you could ever internalize, utilize, and leverage in your life, because SMILE is an acronym that stands for Seeing Miracles in Life Every Day. Seeing miracles in life every day. Now, just before COVID, when I was speaking to groups and, you know, real human beings, eyeball to eyeball, which we're going to be doing very shortly again throughout the world, getting rid of this panic and pandemic idea. There were thousands, thousands of people in the audience. People raised their hand and say, "Hey, Barry Shore, I've been up for hours. I haven't seen any miracles." And I asked them, "Are you here? Can you hear? Can you see? Can you walk? Can you talk? Do you have? Can you stand still? Do you have water, drink, food to eat, place to sleep, family, friends?" Every single one of those is a miracle. What's the simplest proof? Simple proof. 1 million people didn't get out of bed this morning. Why? They died. If you, by definition, if you're watching or listening, you didn't. If you're alive, you have an obligation to live exuberantly. Now, when I speak to people, I speak to those people about the story of Barry Shore and the ability to see miracles in life every day. So what's the story? Again, hundreds of thousands of you already know this, and you're sharing with people around the world, and thank you. And we're going to be starting, by the way, very soon, the community for the joy of living, which you'll be invited to join, and we're going to create this worldwide movement, because we have a joy deficit in the world and we want a surplus without printing trillions of dollars. So here's a story, very simple. Imagine the following: standing up in the morning, hale and hearty, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and that night you're in the hospital, totally, completely paralyzed, and not from a car accident, not an automobile, not a car accident, not a spinal injury. A rare disease took over my body. I never heard of it the day before, and rendered me a quadriplegic. I was 144 days in the hospital. I was 2 years in a hospital bed in my own home. I couldn't turn over by myself. 4 years in a wheelchair. I had braces on both my legs from my hips to my ankles. That was progress. Thank God today I'm able to be vertical and ambulatory with the help of a 7-foot walking wand made for me by a Zen master, but I still can't walk up a stair by myself, and I can't walk up a curb by myself, and I have help 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you hear my voice, positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant. And the reason is because of the word smile, seeing miracles in life every day. It still takes me 10 minutes to get out of bed in the morning, but I get out of bed. I got to tell you a quick story. My 8-year-old niece comes over to me a few weeks ago. She says, Uncle Barry, can we spell smile, S-M-I-E-L? I thought about it. I said, smile, why not? How come? And I asked her, and she said, because then it would stand for seeing miracles in everyday life. Out of the mouth of babes. But what was she doing? She was creating the kind of world that she wants to live in. Create stands for causing rethinking, enabling all to excel. Rethinking, neuro-linguistic program, being able to be a good-looking person because you're always looking for and finding the good. You have a brain. Our brains have 100 billion brain cells and over 120 trillion synapses connecting all those brain cells. And they're there for more than just deciding what kind of latte you want this morning. The ability to think in good, speak in good, and act in good is the key to living successfully. You'll be happier, healthier, and wealthier. And that's the key. So before we bring on our amazing guest, who is a font of information, and his information is going to be useful, practical for you to think about, because we are in my humble opinion, an inflection point in this country, the United States of America, and around the world. Because what happens in America affects the entire world. And we have people, thank God, listening from almost every single country in the world. And most everybody listening is under the age of 36. So this is even more important for you to hear what we're going to be discussing today. So before we do, I just want to urge everybody to do the following. I'd like you to use the two most powerful words in the English language at least 3 times a day, consciously and conscientiously, for the rest of your life. Yes, the rest of your life. What are these two words? Drum roll, fanfare, da-da-da-da. Thank you. Thanks stands for to harmonize and network kindness. To harmonize and network kindness. The Dalai Lama has been quoted as saying, and I've read in his writings, be kind whenever possible. It's always possible, he says. Imagine going back in a coffee shop and you order your fancy latte for $5. You sit down, somebody brings it to you. Say thank you. You go back into the coffee shop, you order a fancy latte for $5. Nobody brings it to you for a few minutes. Go to the counter and say, oh, I'm sorry, we forgot, we're busy, we'll bring it to you. And you go back, it's down a couple of minutes, but somebody brings it, you say, thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop, it's raining out. Somebody holds the door open for you. You say, thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop and it's raining out. Somebody slams the door on you. You say, thank you. You're stuck in traffic, you're late for an appointment. Somebody cuts you off. You say, thank you. Get up in the middle of the night, you stub your toe and it hurts. You say, yes, thank you. To harmonize and network kindness. Kind stands for keep inspiring noble deeds. I cannot think of anybody who I'd rather share with you, who will inspire you to think and be aware of what's going on in your world that will enable you to be happier, healthier, and wealthier. Then my dear friend, Peter Nolan. Peter, please say a huge hello down to 352,822 people around the world.
Good to see you, Barry. And thank you for having me on.
Nice to be seen. And I'm glad. And you're a good person to be had. So I'm going to jump right in and mention again to people. I'm just going to give a little bit of the background of Peter, because you need to know bona fides of things. See, I can speak about going through difficulties. Peter can speak about money, management thereof, earning it, and most importantly, keeping it. See, there's a big distinction in life between making money and keeping money. And Peter, I hope, will attest to that and say, yes, you're right, Barry, sure. It's a good point. Making money. A lot of people over the years, over decades and centuries, have made a lot of money, but when it comes to a few years later, all of a sudden, where did that money go to? So making money, keeping money is really a key to you being happier, healthier, and wealthier. Peter Nolan, in addition to being a senior advisor to one of the largest wealth funds in the country, if not the world, it's called Leonard Green Partners. When he and his young friends first were involved with Leonard Green, the Leonard Green Partner Fund, I believe, is around $500 million. And at this point in time, I just read the other day, Peter, you have topped 50 billion in assets.
40.
Only, okay, excuse me, I'm exaggerating, 40. Still, from 500 million to 40 billion. But more interesting is that, of course, Peter did well throughout that process. Peter's a senior advisor, but what he does is not only work with and bring about benefit for other people's money, he's an opium dealer, but he does it for himself in his own office. And when you are able to put your own money on the line, you put your money where your mouth is, that's the reason I want to speak with him, more so than some sort of pundit on the place who we can get and say, yeah, what do you think about the market? Well, that's good, because, you know, they're just a hired gun and such. Peter is the man who's making things happen for himself, his family, his community, and the people that are involved with Leonard Green Partners. And he has a treasure trove of information for us. So I'm just going to introduce first and let him say hello and just tee up the idea. Here's the topic for today. Topic today is a word called inflation. And the subtitle is Be Afraid. Be Very Afraid. So Peter, I'm going to just throw something to you. Would you agree, first of all, with me that making money is less important than keeping it? I mean, obviously, you need to make it in order to keep it. But earning money is one thing. Keeping it is the real key of life. And that inflation is potentially real and potentially threatening.
Absolutely, Barry. Absolutely. And if you look at even history, one of the precursors to, you know, the rise of Nazi Germany in World War II was the Weimar Republic, where governments basically entered into a hyperinflationary period. Inflation is essentially the value of your currency is declining. You can buy less goods with the same amount of currency as the cost of whatever it is you're buying inflates. And it's an incredibly destructive it's an incredibly destructive tax that's placed on everyone. And Barry's right. You know, the people that suffer the worst, that are people that have made money, that have saved money. And unless your investments grow faster than the rate of inflation, your real purchasing power will decline. Will decline. So yes, you're right, Barry.
So let's take a look at this word you used. It's a devastating three-letter word, not a four-letter word, but it's a three-letter word. It's called tax. So right. People think, well, tax, that's what the government levies. Yes, but a government can actually levy a tax without ever issuing a tax. And that's what Peter is not just alluding to. I want to set the stage with some statistics, because I've really prepared for this. In my humble opinion, this is the most momentous podcast that I've ever done. And I dare say it will be the most momentous podcast that the people listening and sharing will ever hear. Peter's going on record. Here's a man who is involved with tens of billions of dollars of other people's money and many, many millions of his own money. And he is involved in this process of making sure that that money is used in the most efficient, effective way, or else it will decline. And as long as money is declining, you're losing. Nobody wants to lose. We're here to win. The best way to win is to be informed. Let me give you two data points, Peter, and then we'll just keep going forward. Two amazing data points. Turns out that as of today, in this year, 2021, so you can make a note in your workbooks, everybody, 2021, at the population of the United States of America for the first time has exceeded more than half of the population is under the age of 38. 50.7% of all Americans are under the age of 38. That means there are more millennials and Gen X, et cetera, Gen Z, and whatever number they're going to come up with, than there are baby boomers. Well, that's an important data point for two reasons. One is there are a lot of them out there. I'm not saying I'm not part of it, but a lot of them out there. Number two is their historical perspective, by definition, is narrow. They're under the age of 38. They have no way of even thinking about, let alone experiencing, what happened between, let's say, 1975 and 1981, which now I'll give two other data points. So Peter is quite correct. Historically, when you look at things, the inflation rate, most of the time for the past 58 years, has been 5% or less. Granted, there were spikes. We're going to talk about that spike right now. When President Jimmy Carter entered office, 1976, we elected in 1975, the inflation rate was 4.9%. Below historical values, 5%. So nobody was fretting about it, but it was something to be aware of. When he left office, ignominiously, that's my my editorial opinion, when he was voted out of office overwhelmingly in 1980, the inflation rate topped 17%. The interest rate, you remember, Peter, the interest rate was 22%. If you wanted to borrow money to buy a home, it was 8.9%. The numbers are staggering in comparison to today's understanding. So the reason I mentioned these two data points is because we have a large population historically that has never experienced anything but an ongoing, for want of a better term, bull market, rising benefit in the United States of America. And number two, can't relate to things that could happen quickly. So as I said, Jimmy Carter, 1975, when he left in 1980, that's 5 years, prices increased dramatically, not just 5%, not just 6%, so it went to double digits. Those are devastating in terms of what your value is. So with that as a silver platter, if you'd be so kind, wonderful Mr. Nolan, you as a money manager, a money guide, somebody that people come to, please give us some information of what you think is going on, could go on in the next few years.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to show you a couple things I printed out this morning.
And thank you for doing this.
I don't know if you can see this. Can you see?
Oh,
this?
Yes. Ooh, that's amazing.
This is a chart. Let me just make sure.
Yeah, right. Lumber prices. Okay. Yeah, lumber
prices. This is a chart of lumber prices since 1975. Mm. Since 1975, this is to buy a constant unit of lumber. And what you can see is basically for most of the time since the 70s, lumber prices have been roughly stable. There's been some inflation, but not much. And then this is right here is 2021. And what you see is that lumber has the price of lumber, your dollar buys, the price is quadrupled. So your dollar buys 25% of what you used to be able to buy even a year ago. And why is this happening? Well, it's happening for a bunch of different reasons. One reason is our economy is starting to get back to work. And this is the great debate that's going on with the Federal Reserve and with Washington and with the bankers is this temporary? Is this we're restarting the engine? And so is this just noise as a result of restarting the engine, or is it real? And the truth is, no one knows for sure. I think that are lumber prices going to stay where they are? No, they won't. Because what will happen is that markets are extraordinarily efficient. The lumber mills will work overtime, and lumber prices will ultimately come down. But what we're seeing is across the economy is so many different commodities, the prices are spiking dramatically. You know, if you want to go buy a car, unfortunately, I went and my daughter just graduated college. And the deal I had with my kids is if you graduate college and you get a job, I'll buy you a car. I went to buy a car. You do not want to buy a car right now. The prices, I've never even paid sticker price for a car, and I had to pay a small premium over sticker to even get a car. Which
I want you to repeat this again, because what you're saying is touching every person listening, especially in the United States of America. You, prior to this, everybody knew you would not pay sticker price. That was just there. Then there's the idea of negotiating.
Right.
But now it is.
And I bought her a Toyota. It was a 4Runner, and I had to pay over sticker, and he couldn't even find it. And going around to the car dealers, you know, they had almost no new car inventory. So what's going on? Well, you have the economy is getting back to work. That's what's going on. There are critical shortages of raw materials because the system, you know, we went through an extraordinary experiment in 2020 where the world's economy was shut down with a blunt instrument. And this, so you just don't start, you don't start up this incredible global economy. You don't flip a switch and it's back to normal. So that's understandable. So you have what they call supply chain issues. So right now in the automotive industry, they can't get semiconductors because cars today have a lot of computers in them. And so that's causing a shortage of cars. And it's causing prices of not only new cars to go up, but it's dragging up the price of used cars. Building is getting back, you know, and you've seen lumber, the price of lumber has quadrupled. Now it's starting to come down a little bit, but it's still well, well above historical prices. And the other thing that's going on is that there's tremendous unemployment. There's tremendous unemployment, but there's an acute shortage of workers. And that's because the government is flooding employees with unemployment benefits. So a lot of people, you know, people are pretty smart and they've realized I can make more money not working than working. And when you're given that choice, particularly at entry-level jobs, it's keeping a lot of people out of the labor market. And we own a lot of different businesses. And one of our biggest challenges is A, to find people, and B, to get, you know, raw materials. The demand is out there, And so there's demand for all sorts of different goods and services, and there's more money than ever in people's accounts. So wealth, if you will, wealth, which is money that people have, is at a record, because the world, the government in the United States and other countries, but I'm going to talk about the United States, they've flooded people's accounts with money. They've printed a lot of money. They've given a lot of money to businesses through a lot of the support, that the PPP support that went on last year. So there's a lot of capital out there chasing too few goods. And one of those goods is labor. Now, the reason I think that inflation is going to be with us for a while is I don't think these things correct right away. If I can't find someone to work at my restaurant, and I have to finally pay someone, let's say, $17 an hour to work, and if I say, okay, I wouldn't work at minimum wage. I think minimum wage is still below $10.
Right, federal minimum wage, like sticker price. No, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right, but let's say, you know, they were fighting for $15. Well, let's say it takes $17, $18 for me to hire mm-hmm. them today to come work for me. Well, you're not just, as the economy corrects, you're not going to go and cut that person's pay. You're not going to say, well, I was paying you $18. Now I'm only going to pay you $10. So wages are sticky. And if you get a good person and you've hired them and you're paying them $18 an hour, you're not going to cut the pay, and that's going to add to inflation. So what you have going on right now, which is really interesting, is you have an economy restarting. You have a government that is basically flooding the markets with capital. And you have a Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve doesn't control interest rates, but they affect short-term interest rates, and they're a major participant in all the markets. A Federal Reserve that's decided, and I'll show you this other chart. This is a really interesting chart that
yeah, that's better. Okay.
So I put a big arrow. This is a chart of interest rates since the 1600s.
What? Okay.
So over right here is today, and this is at the other end is 1600s. And that gives you a really interesting perspective, is our rates have never, ever, ever been this low, ever, since basically the first time that anyone recorded any rates that anyone knows of. And you can see what's happened. And what that says is that the government, you know, money is practically free. Mm-hmm. And will that last? Well, I don't believe it will. So you quoted your inflation number. So if you today you buy, let's say you're a retiree and you buy a 20-year treasury bond, you're going to get 2% on your money pre-tax. But if inflation's in excess of that 2%, let's say inflation is 4%, then every year the capital that you've invested is buys less. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredibly difficult tax. So, you know, look, I'm optimistic. I think the economy will people want to get to work. The vaccines did work. There's no reason why we can't resume normal life. It's going to take a little while for the governments to open everything up, but I think people are ready. You in California, they just dropped the mask mandate. I live in California. They dropped the mask mandate yesterday. But businesses still don't know if they can open up fully here. But I think what we'll see is the economy will continue to grow quite rapidly. It will come roaring back. And I think what the government's doing is they're so fearful of going backwards that they're almost adding, not almost, they're adding too much gas to the fire. Mm-hmm. and they should be dialing down. But what they've decided is the government and the Federal Reserve decided is that they're going to live with this inflation because they don't know if what's going on is temporary. And the main objective they have is putting people back to work. But the problem is one part of the government is printing money to get people back to work, and the other part of the government is handing people money so they don't want to go to work.
No work, right?
So it's like classic left hand, right hand are actually working counter to each other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, we'll have inflation, and yes, what's going to be worthless is a lot of your financial instruments, your debt instruments, the bonds that you own, the money in your bank account. You're losing money basically every day that it sits in that form.
And that's on that high note, we thank God this is capitalism, not just 101, but on exponentially. We have sponsors and they have paid to be with us. So we're going to just say, stay with us, because on the other side of this, Peter is going to go and give us more in-depth information and tell you why and how you can make sure that your money doesn't lose value. We're right back after this.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings and good looking people. Now we're going to be discussing, are you ready? Pain, but Barry, sure, you're all about joy. That's true. But there is pain also in the physical being on the way to joy, at least for me. I have a personal struggle because I swim 2 miles a day, 6 days a week, and there's a constant pain in the neck and in the shoulders because I'm swimming a lot. Now, over 500,000 people in pain have used Curable to improve their lives. Curable is an app, and most of it is completely free. And I urge you, get this app set up. Go to getcurable.com/joy. Getcurable.com/joy. And if you ever decide to upgrade your Curable app, you'll get 50% off the retail price just by using our link, which again is getcurable.com/joy. Do it today. You'll be glad you did. I did it, and I went from pain to joy. You'll thank me. Best wishes. Bye now. Imagine the kind of place you would want to shop for your favorite fur baby pet. HonestPets.co. Well, you found it. HonestPets.co, not .com, .co. This is your go-to spot for the best, the cleanest pet treats that exist anywhere on the planet. All of the brands go through a rigorous review to make sure they meet the high standards of cleanliness, health benefits, and naturalness. This site was started by a husband and wife team, and it's veteran-owned, and that care about pets, especially dogs and cats, and coming soon, bird treats. These are very nice young people who really care about making a difference, because a portion of proceeds go to support veteran organizations with a focus on service dogs. This is the place where you want to go. You want to tell your friends. This has the finest, yummiest, freshest, all-natural treats and stuff for your fur baby. So go there, honestpets.co. HonestPets.co. Do it now.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. We have good in abundance, overflowing, and it's in one human being who is giving us. We'll call him the Oracle of Manhattan Beach. People know the reference I'm making to the Oracle of Omaha, but it's okay. Oracle of Manhattan Beach and wonderful Peter Nolan, who is talking to us about something that is so pertinent to your very well-being. Remember, this show, The Joy of Living, is all about enabling you to be happier, healthier, and wealthier. If your value of your money continues to decrease, if you're not being actively involved and making sure you're going ahead of whatever the inflation cycle is, then you're going to be losing, and nobody wants to lose. Remember, making money is one thing. If you make $17 an hour, but it costs you $20 an hour to live, well, then you're not gaining, you're going backwards. So let's go back to what Peter was talking about, this idea of inflation. I'm just going to quote what's been the buzzword that's been going around, Peter, and as you mentioned, maybe that this is just what the government's putting out, but the Federal Reserve is saying that, in quotation marks, they see inflation as transitory, close quotes. Well, yes, it's transitory. We don't know if that's going to be 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It, because inflation is, by definition, a tax. It's debilitating. So tell us, they just mentioned today's Wall Street Journal, Peter, today, that the next time to think about raising interest rates is 2023.
Right.
Hello? So we all know that the government is very, how should we say it? I wouldn't say incapable, but far less nimble than a business person, man or woman, in making decisions and shifting course. What do you do with this behemoth that says, well, 2023 might raise rates? Now what's going to happen for the next year and a half?
Well, you know, look, I don't want to pretend to be a lot of things that I'm not. And I'm not a, I'm not someone that knows what the Federal Reserve is doing, or, you know, I spend very little of my time studying what they're doing and why they're doing it. And you can drive yourself crazy on a week to week, day to day basis, trying to figure out what's going on with monetary policy in the U.S. I think what they're doing is they're trying to signal to the market that you shouldn't expect them to lift short-term interest rates till 2023. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So the and this whole notion is transitory. And to be honest, I think they have a very, very difficult job. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to, it's like when you build a fire, right? You have a stack of wood and you're trying to get your campfire going, and you basically put the kindling in, and you don't want to blow on it too hard. You want to make sure that it ignites the whole pile. And so what they want to do is to encourage the markets that they're, as far as short-term interest rates are concerned, you have stability through next year, so have at it, team. Well, actually, you have stability for the next 18 months, so have at it. Whatever you're doing, keep doing. And then, and that includes opening your business, hiring people, purchasing goods and services, et cetera, and don't worry about us, what we're going to be doing with interest rates. Now, some of us will argue that interest rates are too low and the cost is inflation, and it's chasing up the price of goods, services, labor. Look at gasoline, you know, look at home prices, look at everything that's going on. You know, if you look at the price of oil almost a little over a year ago, went to zero.
It was a negative number.
It was negative. There was, like, you know, they had basically tankers full of oil that no one wanted during the depths of COVID that you had to pay people to take. And today, oil has bounced back significantly because people are out and they're driving and flying and doing all the things that people normally do. So we'll see. I personally think it's too much. I think there's going to be a heavy price to pay for all this stimulus. There's going to be a heavy price to pay for, you know, we have a multi-trillion dollar stimulus bill. There's an infrastructure bill that could happen. There's an additional stimulus bill that the administration wants to push through. I personally think it's completely unnecessary. What we need to do is the government needs to get out of the way of the private sector and let the private sector come back and rebuild all these businesses throughout the entire country, and not try to centrally manage it, because at the end of the day, it just doesn't work. You know, also, you know, governments love to spend because why do they love to spend? Because I think people that are attracted to government see a lot of the world's ills that they think they can correct. poverty, they can correct healthcare, they can correct a lot of different things. And so how do you get money, right? Well, how do you get money? Well, one way is you tax people. You essentially confiscate it from people that have it. So you either confiscate income, or you may confiscate, lately the thing they're talking about, there's a certain faction that wants to confiscate wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Just tax you on what you have as opposed to what you earn. And the other way is you print money. You just print more. I keep a stack of money. This is
Zimbabwean dollars?
Zimbabwe, this is a $1 trillion bill.
Yeah, we laugh, but we shouldn't laugh, right?
You see it?
Yes.
That's what it's worth. You put your gum, I put my gum in it. When I'm done, I throw it away because it's worthless. So you can print money for some period of time, but eventually everyone catches on. And what we're seeing is that's what's happening today, is the value of our currency is less. And the question you have, Barry, is then what do you do? And you know, the answer is that I don't have perfect clarity. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. When I was in high school, I worked in a grocery store, and I would show up in Syracuse, New York. I worked in a grocery store called Loblaws, and I'd show up for work, and my boss would hand me this just big stack of price changes. And what we had to do is mark every can separately with ink. You know, we had a stamp, and you'd stamp the can.
I remember that.
They don't do that anymore, but we would literally have an ink stamp, and it had, you know, that you just sort of stamp a can, you put a price in the can. And I had to go around with hairspray, literally it was hairspray, and spray the top of the cans of corn or whatever, and clean off the old price and put on the new price. And that's what happens when you're in an inflationary environment, is that prices are changing constantly. And we're seeing that in our businesses. We're doing all sorts of surveys in businesses that we have, and everyone right now is raising prices. And so at the end of the day, it defeats the purpose. If you're going to hand people money, and on one hand, but on the other hand, you're going to do things that makes the money worth less, it's not clear if someone's any better off.
Right. They're not, by definition.
They're not.
As you mentioned, Peter, so in biblical terms, there is something called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So we won't go there and say apocalypse, but there are only four things that happen in any economy. You have inflation or deflation. You have confiscation or devastation. So you showed up the Zimbabwe model. That's devastation. The confiscation issue, by the way, which you're raising right now, is in vogue with certain aspects of the current administration. In other words, those who have need to contribute more, and therefore we're not confiscating, we're enabling those who have to contribute more to balance things out. But it's confiscation. The other way of confiscating is inflation. In other words, it's just more democratic in the sense that, well, if you're a poor person or a rich person, you're just going to pay more, whether you're buying your yacht or you're buying a piece of pizza.
It's the world's most hidden tax.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation, you know, if you look at what's happened over time, and the reason we haven't had much in the way of inflation, because we haven't, is that we've had this remarkable productivity that's occurred, where the cost of goods and services has declined significantly. If you look at what you pay for computing power, for telecommunications, you know, I remember, again, you know, trying to show I'm an old guy, I remember going to my father's office on weekends to make long distance calls because he had a bulk rate at his office. So we'd literally get in the car and go to his office so we could call relatives instead of calling from the home phone, which was a lot more expensive. Today, I'm talking to you with a video chat that costs zero. There's no cost for this information transition. That's remarkable. So in real terms, there's so many things that are so much cheaper than they've ever been in world history. And that productivity that's occurred has been amazing. And it's lifted the lives of everyone throughout the world. But once you start printing money and once you start chasing up the value of goods and services, then it's really the most wicked tax because it's hidden and you do end up with really bad things happen. But these are extraordinary times. We've come through a global shutdown because of a pandemic, and these governments are trying to nurture the economy back to life, and we'll see if it works. But I think there's going to be unintended consequences of a lot of the moves that are taking place right now.
And when you say unintended consequences, again, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I will. That's a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, hold on, Marie, there's some stuff going to be happening, and most of it won't be good. Some of it will be good. In other words, in any business, any marketplace, there'll be winners and losers. But generally speaking, those who are more aware, or at least open their eyes more and think about what they can do to protect themselves, because just sticking money under a mattress, which, by the way, is just the same words as just continuing to do things that you're doing and not try to maximize your value in your assets. And by the way, when I talk about assets, I'm talking about personal as well as monetary. In other words, the most important thing, you just said it, Peter, I'll take the words from you. Productivity is the greatest uplifter of anything in life. So the best investment you could ever make is in yourself, right? In other words, educate yourself more about anything that you do. Become the best pottery maker you can be. Become the best flower designer you can be. Become so good at what you do that price becomes besides the point, so that you're maximizing you. When you do that, again, I'm saying this now, you're not Peter Nolan, but if you agree with me, I think it's probably the best investment someone could ever make, aside from being a skilled money manager with decades under your belt. You don't know what stocks to buy and this and that, and certainly don't start speculating in Robinhood and things. I mean, I'm telling people, don't do that, because even though you'll hear that one or two people did very well, that doesn't reflect on you. Make the investment in yourself. Learn about what Peter and I are discussing today. Understand that these words, inflation or deflation or confiscation or wealth tax, these are real. And if you want to be successful over the next 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life, it's worth it to invest in yourself and learn. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Well, by the way, Peter is one of the greatest people to communicate with. When I send him an email or a text, I get back a word. We should all be as frugal with our words and with our money as he is. And by the way, you must have been out on your boat recently, because you got this great tan here, but you got goggles on or something. Were you skiing?
No, I have a farm. I go up there. And,
right.
I was out on the farm fixing things this past week.
The back 40 or 400 or 4,000 or whatever. By the way, do you grow crops at all on your farm?
Yeah, we grow losses.
Tax deductible, of course.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, but no, we raise cattle and we grow grapes.
So. Wonderful. So just okay, only because it's fun now. When you raise cattle, we're talking about 100 head, 1,000 head.
No, I have the way to look at it is I have about 150 mother cows. So they and those cows will generate a calf every year. So total head is probably, including the bulls, is about 315, something like that. So you want every cow to have a calf, and every year they will, if everything goes right, they'll successfully drop a calf. So
you've been calving for a while. So by the way, the reason I mentioned this, it's really fun to talk about this, because look, Peter is alluding to here, this is the nature of how you really grow money. You want every dollar that you have to have a calf every year. In other words, keep growing, keep calving, making sure it's tax deductible, and always be in the black, let it leave alone the red, but still have fun in life. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Well, again, I want to say a huge thank you. Everybody listening, you cannot get real information insight. I think Peter is urging us all, be aware, be suspicious in the sense, in the positive sense of the government and what it's doing, and ask yourself what you can do for your country. And the best thing I think you can do for a country, to paraphrase John Kennedy, the best thing you can do for your country, educate yourself, learn as much as you can, be as astute as you can in your own life, in your own finances, and seek out information that's going to benefit you, because you will then be successful. We're living in the most productive time in the history of the world. There'll be lots of stuff happening, but you can be successful when you listen to The Joy of Living with your humble host, Barry Shore. And we bring you somebody on the caliber of Peter Nolan. I'm honored to call him friend. Remember the three fundamentals of life. Life has purpose. When you lead a purpose-driven life like Peter, you can go mad. Make a difference and unlock the secrets and the power of everyday words and terms. Smile. See miracles in life every day. Thank you.
Yes. Barry, can I say one last thing?
Please.
If you're going to go and buy Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency, or you're going to go buy any of the internet stocks like AMC, GameStop, just make sure you're using money that you don't care if you lose it all. You know, because you should really only invest in things that you understand. And if you don't understand it, buyer beware. And I'm not making a comment on anything. I'm not telling you what's going to happen with the cryptocurrencies. I'm not going to tell you that what's going to happen with AMC or GameStop. That's up to you and your financial advisor. I'm just telling you, if you're going to follow an internet bubble fad where the internet has decided to go after a particular stock for one reason or another, just make sure that you know it's your risk capital, and that when you know, it's a little bit like going to the casino. If you're going to go to a casino and play blackjack, make sure you only bet money that you don't care if you wake up tomorrow and you've lost it all.
That's called wow. Words of wisdom. And by the way, Peter owns a casino. Thank you. Not anymore, but yeah, in the portfolio.
The house always wins.
That's right. Remember, that's the house of the government. You don't want to be there. Just go educate yourself and do as Peter says. Thank you, wonderful Peter Nolan. We appreciate you much. And God willing, you'll come back again for another round or something, right?
All right, Barry.
Thank you. Best wishes. Right. Be well, everybody. Make it a great one. Bye.
Escape to peace and joy this holiday season at Worldgate Spa. Indulge in our 50-minute microdermabrasion facial featuring a complimentary peppermint scalp massage. Or give the ultimate gift, a spa gift card with up to $100 spa credit. Treat yourself or a loved one to the serenity of aromatherapy and luxurious relaxation at Worldgate Spa. Reserve your getaway today.